Get ready for the last week of school, also known as the easiest week of school to many, particularly in elementary. It is Greg Morgan on this Monday morning. It's June 23rd. We didn't have the greatest weekend of weather, but gradually it is going to be clearing up, really kicking into tomorrow and the rest of the week. It could have been much worse for us all. It could have been snowing. They saw that just 45 minutes outside of Calgary, not even a half hour west of Calgary. In fact, they got a crazy amount of snow, 30 centimeters in some parts, just under a foot of snow. And Banff Sunshine Village, I saw Saturday morning, happily sharing photos to enjoy fresh powder. And they were sharing how you could buy discount tickets to celebrate the fresh snow there in Alberta. Hey, any kind of moisture is welcome here right now. And rainfall amounts differ depending where you are in Saskatchewan. So I need your help. What's in your gauge from the weekend, whether it be on the farm or in the city? I'm curious how much rain you got. Text me, 1-877-300-7275. Unfortunately, the north didn't get as much rain as the south. Crews are still dealing with something like 21 active wildfires, 5 not yet contained. I spoke to my buddy Lee Stanley a short time ago, who farms in the Gainsborough area in the southeastern corner, tucked there near the Manitoba border. You've heard him on my show previously on occasion. He told me he got about 0.3 inches, pretty moderate, with hopes for more, right?
We don't have a surplus like we usually do, but I would say we're adequate at the moment. We sure wouldn't turn down a rain. Pastures and hay are probably starting to hurt a little bit, but the crops are coming along nicely. We're in the weed chemical spraying stage right now in crops. So guys are doing fungicides and getting caught up.
And when you compare from where you were last year this time, is it about on par?
Yeah, maybe a little bit ahead. We're doing good. We're not going to complain. So
you're feeling good at this point of the growing season?
Yeah, we'd like to see a little price increase and like to see our trade wars settle down, of course. But that's a little above my pay grade.
And mine. Thank you, Lee. Lee Stanley from Gainsborough, Saskatchewan. How about you, though? What's in your rain gauge? Are you satisfied? Good weekend for you there on the farm. 1-877-300-7275. This, the last week of school. I've never seen my youngest so excited. You know, for weeks upon weeks, I'm saying, okay, let's do some homework here. And where are we? And no, now, this week, suddenly, excited to go to school. Get it over with. It is a lax week, I know, for many. And teachers are looking just forward as the kids are to the break. High school finals pretty much over, I believe, now, and they'll be handing out diplomas through the week at school grad ceremonies. Lots of people looking at the weekend ahead of us here as a long weekend. At least in my circle of friends, a lot of people are planning on taking Monday off because it butts up against next Tuesday, which is Canada Day. Really, really sucks, doesn't it? That Canada Day is on a Tuesday and not the Monday to make it a long weekend for everyone. But understandably, a lot of people now with school out of the way. Flag football wrapped up over the weekend, too. That's one less extracurricular activity out of the way. So, yes, with school finishing up, a lot of households tending to focus now on the summer vacation plan. Maybe it's camping. Maybe you have a cabin, head out there every weekend, or you're heading to the mountains. Catch some of that fresh snow in Alberta. It's an exciting time of the year as school wraps up and get those report cards and have some summer fun. Ryder fans might have needed a kickstart to the old heart. What a game. Now that you've had a few days to recover from that one against the defending Grey Cup champion Argonauts Friday night, what do you think? 39-32 victory. I think a lot of us thought that game would be a lot easier than it was for the green and white, but what a nail biter. Andy with a walk-off kick return.
23 seconds remaining, 32 all. Alford. Crosses the 20 to the 30 to the 40. He's got something to the 50.
Come on.
On races. No one's going to touch him. No, flags down. Walk it off.
game was an incredible ending. Mario Helford is clutch with a 99-yard kickoff return. And just like that, the Riders are now 3-0. It wasn't pretty, 178 yards of penalties. But as they say, a win's a win. Grey Cup champ and Green Zone analyst Belton Johnson, do you agree a win's a win?
Oh, yeah. In this case, I got to agree, Greg. And that what a kickoff return by Alford there, man. Wow.
Then, of course, there's a lot to discuss in not only penalties, but, oh, boy, here we go again. There's kicker Brett Lawther, who missed that 33-yard field goal that should have been a gimme and would have put the Riders up 10 with a couple minutes left. He was 5-for-5 on convert attempts, but 1-for-2 on high on field goals, which... of course, that miss coming from 33 yards, does it make it harder to defend him, or are you concerned?
I'm not going to be concerned just yet, just being that it's still early in the season, right? And, yes, I think he probably should have made it, but what got me, I don't know if you saw it, Greg, was that glare that he gave his holder a little bit there, you know, on the TSN broadcast. So hopefully they get things figured out because they are going to need Brett Lawther. They needed him this game because that could have ended it if he had made it, man.
No kidding. Well, let's break it down a little more here. What's your assessment of the defense overall?
Well, overall with the defense, I'm liking everything, right? I believe they had 4 sacks. Again, they did, I think, in the third quarter, they kind of lulled themselves asleep there because Arbuckle was looking like the second coming of somebody out there with him passing to Mitol, the receiver there for the Argos. But again, penalties, jumping off sides, misconduct, right? I think you stated there 178 yards worth of penalties, not all on the defense or anything, but you know, when you get penalties like that, this is the reason you have games like this, Greg.
And through it all, Belton Johnson, the offense, some highlights, Dante Meyer steps up 125 receiving yards and a couple of TDs.
Oh, that was crazy. The one catch went for, 70 yards there. He is a dynamic player, and again, a guy that stepped up. You're looking at the receiving core. You got a couple of receivers out. Schaefer Baker's up, and, you know, those guys, they found a way. Keyshawn Johnson, you could call him Mr. Fourth Quarter because he got a couple first downs there in the fourth quarter. And, hey, don't forget the flying mullet, man. Holy cow.
Wow.
25-yard touchdown run, Greg. Woo!
Rushing what, for 91 yards total, I think?
91 yards rushing, 17 carries. And, don't forget about, who was it, Tommy Tugboat Stevens. We got a nice short yardage quarterback there.
Oh, yes. No kidding. That is a beauty. And Mitch Becton got a nice grab, highlight reel grab there too. So, but undisciplined again. So I can only imagine what Coach Mace is going to be working on this week.
Well, I think I'd be scared to kind of come to practice with the amount of penalties because you look at the first two games, a total of 8 penalties, right? And this game here was, I'm going to consider this an anomaly, I guess, and we'll see what happens because you can't do that against the BC Lions coming in here this upcoming weekend.
It is going to be fun. Can't wait for the Lions to arrive at the same time. It'll be an interesting week as you outlined there with the coach and trying to get discipline back in this game. All right, buddy. We survive another week. A heart stopper there. Thanks for your intel.
The 3-0, Greg. You have a good one.
You too, Belton Johnson. Great cup chap. Hey, by the way, the green is in the green, too. Did you hear last season they made the playoffs for the first time since 2021? Turns out they also made a profit of $2.1 million, too. Here we go. Monday morning. It's Greg Morgan. I know the last week of school is always an exciting time if you have kids that are just about fed up with it all as much as the teachers are. Looking forward to a break, too. I know, but that's also a very lax week. I recall in elementary years with both my girls, stop, get some snacks, watching a movie one afternoon, going for a field trip that ends at the Sev, swimming. kind of fun too, right? And hope in your household is if you have kids in the last week of school, it's going well, and the final exams for high school students pretty much have wrapped up, and now just some grad ceremonies, getting the diplomas too within the school, right? So hope you have a good week. In Moose Jaw today, they're reminding everyone that the Royal Canadian Air Force is there conducting flights in and around the 15-wing Moose Jaw Air Base this afternoon between 1 and 4. Actually, they're going to be flying tactical formations with mounted machine guns. But, of course, no live ammunition. It's a training exercise. I think I saw one of the Air Force choppers over the flag football field on Saturday morning there near the airport. It was kind of cool. Everyone stopped to look up, but must have been headed to 15-wing Moose Jaw for what they're going to do today. And in our latest, in our special coverage of the U.S. attack on Iran, the U.S. entered into conflict, I'm sure you've heard, on Saturday after President Trump ordered warplanes to drop massive bombs on three nuclear sites inside the country, thrusting him squarely into an escalating Middle East conflict. Even as he holds out hope the matter can be resolved diplomatically, too, there's still a question mark as to what remains of Tehran's nuclear program. Reporter Mary Bruce has more.
There's still a lot of questions over how much damage was actually done to Iran's nuclear program, right? The president came out on Saturday night and said that these key enrichment facilities had been completely and totally obliterated, in his words. But the vice president wasn't going that far yesterday when he came out to defend and tout the president's move. He said instead that Iran's nuclear program was substantially set back.
It is pretty extraordinary how the B-52 bomber flew to Iran, struck three sites, returned without even being detected. 44 hours of continuous flight in about 18,000 kilometers. And they did refuel during that excursion, too. A $2.1 billion cost for former Marine Colonel Steve Gagnard, now a military analyst, suggests this is the first time the U.S. has used these bunker buster bombs in combat, and he believes it's a little too early to know how successful it was just yet.
The irony is we probably won't know, because remember that these halls that they were attacking, these enrichment halls, are 200 to 300 feet below ground. Now, we've seen some satellite imagery that shows what looked to be puncture marks. We know that the president was happy with it. So if the Iranians don't hit back at the U.S. or its allies, this could be the end of the U.S. involvement. If they do come back at U.S. troops in the region or allies in the region, this could be the beginning of something more prolonged and bigger for the U.S.
Really does seem to be an awful lot of support for Trump's move, even from many political analysts who used to work for Trump, but have since either turned or soured on him, like former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
The president deserves an enormous amount of credit. This is against type for him. I'm sure it was a difficult decision, but what I think his analysis was he cannot live with a nuclear-weaponed Iran. And Israel did all the heavy lifting. They wiped out any of their air defenses, really severely damaged them in what they've been doing. And the president saw an opportunity that he might never have again. And I think we see the way we dealt with North Korea, that we missed opportunities to take them out before they became a nuclear power. I think Donald Trump looked at this and the president said, I'm not going to let the same thing happen to Iran in what is an even bigger powder keg in the world.
Similar sentiment, too, from his former national security advisor. Trump's former advisor is John Bolton.
Well, let me say this unequivocally. I think President Trump made the right decision for America to attack Iran's nuclear weapons program. And I think we're on the verge of potentially seeing regime change in Iran as part of that. I think this is a huge change in the Middle East. It was a decisive action. It was the right thing to do. I thought somebody should do it for a long time, but better late than never.
It was nothing at all for Mario Alford to give the Riders victory.
23 seconds remaining, 32 all. Alford crosses the 20 to the 30 to the 40. He's got something to the 50.
Come on.
On races. No one's going to touch him. No flags down. Walk it off.
Oh, 39-32 victory. It didn't need to be that close. It was a nail biter, and the Green Zone postgame show was pretty fun to listen to all the callers who admitted they they have health concerns after a game like that.
I almost had a heart attack here.
I've had a heart surgery, and every football season, when football season starts, I put the ambulance guys on speed dial because it seems that they can never, ever take control of a game and keep control of it.
Oh, man, I'm feeling good tonight. That was a game. That was on the edge of your chair kind of ending.
More exciting than it had to be, but it was a great game. We won. That's the most important thing.
I think Coach Mace is going to focus on discipline after that one, though, but he said, hey, that was an incredible ending.
You know, honestly, I was looking at my overtime sheet, you know. I did think that we had a chance talking with Mark Mueller. I said, you know, depending on how far we get this return, you know, depending if we're going to play for overtime or we're going to be able to go kick one.
Yeah.
Special teams did the rest. So incredible for those guys to be able to share that moment together. They worked so hard, you know, to have big returns and to have a walk-off essentially like that. That was incredible.
Well, the Riders now have to clean up some of those penalties and get ready for the BC Lions, who are here this weekend. Boy, the NBA, another season wrapped up last night.
The Thunder have taken the NBA by storm. For the first time, the NBA champion resides in Oklahoma City. The storybook season is complete.
Yeah, the Oklahoma City Thunder won the NBA championship trophy, and they beat the Pacers from Indiana in Game 7, 103-91. The winner-take-all game didn't go as planned for those Pacers when this happened early in the game.
Halliburton falls down. He looks hurt. Here comes SGA the other way, inside, and Williams throws it down. Halliburton's hurt right away when he fell.
That was the turning point. Halliburton had to be carried off the court. Looked like an Achilles injury. He had tears in his eyes as they helped him off. And how about Canadian Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Finished a stellar season. 29 points, 12 assists Sunday night. The 26-year-old out of Hamilton, Ontario, won MVP of the season, finals MVP, a scoring title, and a championship all in the same season.
As a kid, you dream, and every kid dreams, but you don't ever really know if it's going to come true. And that's a thank you to everyone that's been in my corner that's helped me get here.
And he's from Canada. So a lot to celebrate there for Canadian basketball fans. One other NBA note, too. It sounds like the Rockets are about to snag 15-time All-Star Kevin Durant from the Phoenix Suns. The Rockets giving up Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green, and a few future picks. I want to take us back to the NHL for a moment here, too. The Florida Panthers Stanley Cup championship celebration that never seems to want to stop since they won last Tuesday. I would like to give every member of the Florida Panthers props for their major party stamina. My social media feed has seen them partying day and night. They have not stopped since Tuesday. And yesterday in Florida, tens of thousands of people turned out on the beach of Fort Lauderdale. It's a great sight when you see it, for not only the parade of the cup down the street, but then a big beach party. And that's where Sam Bennett had a message for anyone who thinks the Panthers play dirty.
You know, a lot of people they don't like the way we play. They don't like, they call us dirty. They call us nasty. They call us bullies. So, no, I would like to take this time to apologize to absolutely f***ing no one. We're the double champs. We do what the f*** we want. Let's go!
Yeah, he did not hold back. Matthew Tkachuk said something very similar, and then they all popped a few more champagne bottles and were pouring it into the mouths of fans from the stage. It was mayhem and Fort Lauderdale, Florida, as those Panthers truly believe they're forming a dynasty, but my Oilers will have something to say about it next year.